You are locked into Locked On Badgers, and we have the Northwestern game tomorrow. This will go up on a Friday. We're recording it on a Wednesday night, so if any ridiculous breaking news happens, we can't get to it because that is the nature of Big Ten football in 2020. You just never really know what you're going to get. My name is Asher Lowe. This is Locked On Badgers, the show that brings you all things Wisconsin sports. From the student perspective, find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Locked On Badgers. Also on Twitter at Locked On Badgers at ALOW_33. And joining me right now to talk Northwestern football is Jack Leto, who goes to Northwestern, another student perspective, this time from the Evanston source on campus at Northwestern. Jack, welcome to Locked On Badgers. We're friends via Twitter, but why don't you tell everybody why you're qualified to come on here and talk Northwestern football with me?
Yeah, what's up, Asher? It's fantastic to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on. We at Northwestern are very excited. Both the fans and the student journalists all have, you know, just we're giddy about this game because it feels like it's been a really long year since we were last this excited about Northwestern football. I represent WNUR Sports, where I'm a broadcaster. I'll actually be in the studio for this game on Saturday, engineering on 89.3 FM, Evanston, Chicago, if you're around that area, or listen online on Mixlr. And I also do some on-camera reporting for a student television station, Northwestern News Network.
Awesome. So last year was a weird one, especially coming off of a year like 2018 was. And you were on campus for all three of those years, right? So that year, 2018 was what, your first year on campus?
2018 was my sophomore year.
Sophomore year on campus. Okay, so you experienced the highs and the lows really quickly of Northwestern football. If you were diagnosing, and I tried to do this on Wednesday's show a little bit from my perspective, but if you were diagnosing from your perspective what went wrong last year, where would you start?
I mean, the easy answer is everything went wrong, and the second easy answer is the quarterback. The quarterback situation was just rough. If you guys in Badgerland forgot, that's totally okay. The Stanford game was Northwestern's first game of the 2019 season. We came out with Hunter Johnson, at the time, redshirt sophomore, transfer from Clemson, who had everybody talking. And then he just came out and didn't really get it for the first couple of drives. You saw the talent. You saw the arm strength. He had the ability to pass in the pocket, get out of the pocket. But in terms of the reads, it was just coming a little bit slow, and the offense kind of stalled. And then later in, I believe, late in the second quarter, you had TJ Green, who was a backup quarterback for really the last 4 years. This is now his sixth year on campus. Last year was his fifth. He came in relief of Johnson, had a solid drive going, and had an injury. I believe it was a knee injury or a leg injury that just took him out for the rest of the season. And then the rest of the year, the offense and the quarterback play was just a wave of mediocre to average. You had a bunch of different guys go under center. You had some really unfortunate life-altering circumstances with Hunter. And by the end of the year, you had offensive coordinator Mick McCall. He was shown the door. Northwestern and Mick McCall had a great relationship. McCall had been there since 2008. And even though he took Northwestern to heights with the help of Pat Fitzgerald and Mike Hankwitz, he took Northwestern to heights that they hadn't really seen in the 2000s and 2010s. It was time to go. The offense just wasn't clicking. And now the Northwestern offense, it's been a pretty big turnaround. They're not a, you know, world beating offense like some of the other teams in the Big Ten, in the top half of the Big Ten, but they're a lot better under the direction of Mike Bajakian, who came over from Boston College.
So at the quarterback position, Peyton Ramsey has obviously come in and taking that job, a transfer from Indiana, a guy that Indiana was basically making the choice between a guy that I've talked about a lot on this podcast and a guy I've hyped up a lot before the season, and he's lived up to a lot of that hype in Michael Penix Jr. So Indiana had that choice. They went with Penix. Peyton Ramsey ends up Northwestern through four games, sitting at 4-0. Obviously, the evaluation is going to be good. But what have you seen from him?
I want to bring up a quote, actually, that kind of relates from last year. We were talking at the student radio station with Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
And Revson told a story of how last year he left Northwestern's quarterback camp with Jerry DiNardo from BTN, basically saying, oh boy, I don't know. They might have a quarterback problem, because at the time it was a competition between TJ Green and Hunter Johnson. And this offseason, it didn't appear so. Even though Hunter Johnson is back, TJ Green is back, both are talented, Peyton Ramsey just has the experience in the Big Ten. And he's a kid that everyone, I shouldn't say kid, he's a young man that everyone in the program had been talking about all offseason. And he's lived up to the hype. He's not, you know, he's not the California kid or some, you know, super high ranking five-star type process. He is prospect, 6'2", 220, lunch pail guy from Cincinnati, Ohio, who just stands in the pocket and gets the job done, not afraid to take a hit, not afraid to get out of the pocket. So he's been getting the ball out on time. You can tell from the way Ramsey throws the ball, the way Ramsey's in the pocket, he's not, you know, a special talent, but the wide receivers and tight ends have just been running routes as if the ball could always come to them. And if they catch the ball, they could score with it. And Ramsey has just been really good at getting the ball in the hands of playmakers across the Northwestern offense.
To mix it up real quick, you and I are both guys. I'm not sure if you have play-by-play aspirations, but you definitely obviously want to be in broadcasting in some way. I want to be in play-by-play ultimately when it's all said and done down the road. And I saw your tweet, and this is very relevant to talking about Wisconsin-Northwestern. We got Sean McDonough coming to Ryan Field to call this game, a legend in the booth. You excited for Sean McDonough? And then Topic Shay on the sideline, I saw too, getting a little sideline action there. I didn't know he did sideline, to be honest. But
yeah,
Sean on the call. What can fans be excited about that?
I mean, you got to be excited. Northwestern, they do get some games here and there on ABC and ESPN and Fox or FS1, but I think it's been a year. I did some light digging, not very heavy, and I think the last game Sean McDonough called for Northwestern was when Wildcats hosted Notre Dame 2 years ago. McDonough has a long history with Notre Dame, even though he went to Syracuse. So I think McDonough kind of just represents the national crowd that is just getting into Northwestern now and kind of realizing, hey, this is a team that we should be paying attention to. And it seems to happen like this. Outside of last year, when the team just went on a downward spiral, everything that kind of could go wrong did go wrong. Most other years with Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern wins either loses a couple games out of the gate and then starts winning, or they start winning right out of the gate. And by the time they receive votes in the AP poll, you know, a Pat Fitzgerald team usually finds its way in the 21, 22, 23 spot in the AP poll. The national media always, without fail, will say, hey, this Northwestern team is pretty good. So this is their first big test with a capital B. And of course, cliche as that sounds, they've had big tests before against Purdue on the road, against Iowa on the road.
Yeah, tough games.
Home to Nebraska, which is a lot harder than we may have initially thought it would be. This is a big test against a team as high powered and balanced as Wisconsin. And it's going to really show, even if Northwestern does not win this game, this will really show if Northwestern can turn it around in the Big Ten West. And a win or a loss here can show us as a national media, I guess, if Northwestern is a force to be reckoned with, could be first place, could be second place in the Big Ten West.
I couldn't agree more with that. If Northwestern can somehow pull this out, and I don't expect them to. Yes, I'm biased, but I try to be as unbiased as I can when predicting Wisconsin football outcomes and predicting the spreads and all that good stuff that I do here on Locked On Badgers. And I think this game's going to be close, but I would be shocked if Northwestern's offense can find enough in the tank to beat a Wisconsin defense that has looked otherworldly through 2 weeks. Again, against two opponents that you wouldn't say are the cream of the crop right now, even in the Big Ten Conference. In Illinois, obviously, their offense probably the worst in the conference, bar Michigan State. And then Michigan, an offense with Joe Milton that has looked good at times this year early, especially that Minnesota game, but it's not hard to look good against what Minnesota's putting out on the field in 2020. And I'm sure the Locked On Badgers audience loves to hear that. Whenever I can rag on Minnesota, Jack, I take the chance. Whenever I can rag on Nebraska, I take the chance. It's just easy feeder for the audience. They love to hear it. They love to hear us just destroying those two programs. But with Northwestern, there's always a bit with the fans at Wisconsin. There's always a bit of fear whenever Wisconsin plays this team because it feels as though the games are always ugly, no matter how much Wisconsin's favored by, how much better Wisconsin is. And last year is the perfect example, right? A Northwestern team that is struggling in all facets. And last year's game was close for literally four quarters. I mean, that game was pretty close the entire way through. You never felt like Wisconsin was going to lose it. But it ended up being a 9-point win for a team in Wisconsin last year that was just other worlds better than a Northwestern team with no offense. And yet that game was still close.
Yeah, this is going to be a close game. If I had to lean one way, of course, I would lean towards Wisconsin. But one thing Northwestern does have on their side is the resume. Northwestern has played four foes who, at the very least, are average teams in the Big Ten. You have a Purdue team that is 3-1 now. It's 3-1, I believe. You had Nebraska, who took a big loss to Ohio State outside of the Northwestern game, and then they just won a game. You have Maryland, who after the 43-3 loss, this is all going off the top of my head, so I apologize if I'm getting anything wrong. Maryland beat Penn State, and they beat Minnesota. And then Iowa, I think Iowa is the best 2-2 team in college football. I think they're kind of like a mini Wisconsin.
They are a poor man's Wisconsin and have been for a long, long time. No doubt about it.
So you're talking about playing an ugly game, and I think this will be an ugly game. This may sound counterintuitive, but the winner of this football game is going to be the team that plays uglier. And when I say plays uglier, I mean getting the ball in the hands of running backs or short route wide receivers. Don't turn the ball over. Northwestern can and will win games off the back of turnovers and off the back of turnovers that, you know, they shouldn't necessarily get. Frankly, Northwestern has been lucky when it comes to causing turnovers this year. Yeah. But like we said, luck favors the prepared. Northwestern is going to come out of the tunnel with the mindset of we need to take the ball away. So I don't think either quarterback is going to throw three touchdowns. It's just going to be a question of who turns the ball over last, who wins the time of possession game. Maybe I'm completely wrong, and Graham Mertz, who we've seen, who's been great, puts on an absolute show, throws, you know, 350 yards, three touchdowns. But I think this is going to be an ugly game in the trenches that's going to be won by line play, penalties, turnovers.
Going to get to a couple things right after a quick break brought to you by Built Go and Coors Light. I want to get to the kind of vibe on campus right now and the difference between a year ago and now with Northwestern football. Also want to get to any surprise names that you would throw out there that Badger fans aren't thinking about that might make an impact on either side of the football for the Cats. But first, Coors Light is the beer that is made to chill. And when you are watching this ugly Northwestern-Wisconsin football game and you're sitting on your couch and you don't want to get up, you can go to get.coorslight.com, get.coorslight.com, and have that beer shipped to your front door at get.coorslight.com. A beer as cold as the Rockies, made in Golden, Colorado at Coors Brewing Company. Please celebrate responsibly with the beer that is made to chill. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Go, the solution to breaking through your wall. From the same family, you've heard of Built Bar. I talk about it all the time on this podcast. The best tasting protein bar comes one of the best energy solutions in the market. It's this tiny little gel that you can carry in your briefcase. You take it. It's like 5-Hour Energy, except it doesn't have that crash feeling. It's got less caffeine. It's natural. It's better for your body with that same kind of 5-Hour Energy burst. Comes in three delicious flavors, my favorite being the chocolate mint. They sent us a box. Very nice folks over at Built Bar and Built Go. And the best part about it all is that when you use the code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, LOCKED. For some reason, I always say LOCKED like that on this show. 20% off at BuiltGo.com with the code LOCKED. Let's get back to Northwestern football. Jack, vibe on campus. If you gave me one word a year ago and one word right now, those words would be?
Word from last year is sad, and word from this year is optimistic. But optimistic.
Yeah, that was a questioning optimism with a lot of
layers. It was a questioning optimistic with a lot of layers. The layer is, for one, campus is almost empty, so there aren't a lot of people. The people that are here that I often see, if I'm seeing them in the Ryan Field press box, kind of feel that way. Like, I don't know. Is this a legit Northwestern team? It would be exciting, objectively, if they were. They've been winning these close games. They haven't been dominating. I wouldn't compare this season exactly to the 2018 season, because by game 5 or 6 in the 2018 season, Northwestern was winning games pretty handily. And Pat Fitzgerald has said multiple times, Northwestern hasn't played a perfect game. 4 wins looks great, but those could be 3, possibly 4 losses. They've played ugly, and Northwestern needs to come through with that perfect game against Wisconsin. And if they don't, if they play the same way they've been playing the past 4 games, that's not terrible. It's not the worst thing, but Northwestern fans should expect more, because after 4 games, it's time to play up to your opponent's level.
I would agree with that. They've won close games somehow, some way. I saw you tweeted it actually a couple days ago, but somehow this team has found a way to win close games. What has it been at the end that you think so far that's given them that edge?
It's the defense stepping up for big drives. You might have been referencing my tweet where I said Northwestern has a very specific style of, you know, giving their fans cardiac problems. And it's scoring a late touchdown and then giving the reins to their defense once, possibly twice. The Iowa game, we were calling that game remotely, and I believe it ended with 2 Iowa drives, 2 Iowa turnovers, Spencer Petras threw 2 interceptions. So it's getting that timely interception, that timely turnover, turnover on downs on defense that Northwestern has just been really good at. And it's tough. I've asked Fitzgerald this multiple times, you know, is it tough to rely on turnovers when they're so volatile? And he basically pointed to turnovers are what we do. It's a player-driven movement. I can't exactly remember what he said, but I do have a
– It's better than most Paul Chryst quotes you're ever going to get. We love Paul Chryst, but let me tell you right now that his press conferences are not exactly where you find breaking stories.
I do have a better quote here from Matt McPherson, he's the defensive backs coach for Northwestern. I was definitely a better journalist when he was on the presser. He basically said, this is a player-driven movement for turnovers. It's not enough just to be in the right spot. Even this morning, he was saying on the press conference that back in January, in spring ball before the shutdown, you had, when a defensive back broke up a pass or dropped an interception, you had people on the sidelines saying, that's not enough. You got to make that catch. That ball is ours. And they said that before Matt McPherson, the defensive backs coach, could even say anything. So it's just that player-driven movement for turnovers. It's not a fluke. Like I said before, luck favors the prepared. Sometimes the lucky turnovers aren't that lucky. But against a guy like Graham Mertz, Northwestern will have to get a little bit lucky on Saturday.
Before we get to a prediction and a final kind of wrap-up here, one thing I have to get off my chest about Ryan Field and Northwestern. First of all, it's not a great place for Wisconsin football usually, but I've been there once as a student broadcaster, as the visiting student radio calling the game. And I mean, when I tell you they put you on the roof, I mean, they put you on the roof. I mean, I've never been farther away from action or with tougher sight lines than where they put visiting student radio at Ryan Field. And trust me, Jack, I know. Sean McDonough is going to get it over me. Visiting student radio is not going to get ABC's box. It's not going to happen. But, man, it was tough. Do you kind of know what I'm talking about? Do you know where they put visiting student radio? Because I swear it was on the roof.
I do. I believe So student radio for Northwestern is on the 9th floor while the press box is on the 8th floor. So I can think of the roof you're talking about. Is that, do you have to take an elevator to the 8th floor and then take two flights of stairs up?
I think
or
so.
Only one?
I think two.
Wow, that's crazy.
I think it's
the only thing I could remember that's similar is the Stanford game I was referring to before. I was on color commentary for that game. It was hot. We were on the roof, but luckily they gave us a tent. And at Ryan Field, I reserve judgment. I will not say anything about our wonderful sports information staff at Northwestern. They do a fantastic job. Seriously, they do a fantastic job. Sorry about those sight lines. But at least you don't have to go, at least you don't have to see those impossible to read white jerseys for Northwestern. This is a podcast, so you can't see it. But imagine a white jersey with a black two stripes down across the chest. It makes the 8 look like a 0 and a 0 look like an 8. So you have 10, 18, 28, 20. Those are all incredibly confusing.
And you just can't see any of them. It only rivals the Rose Bowl for me, where they put us on the roof next to the snipers at the Rose Bowl, literally at the top of the stadium. But that one I kind of understood more. It's the Rose Bowl.
Okay, glass houses. I'm
even in the stadium. I will take it as a massive, massive win. Jack, give me the 30-second prediction right now before we hop off.
Northwestern will cause turnovers, but so will Wisconsin. And it'll be a trench fight. The final score will be 27-21. The Wisconsin Badgers take a win from Ryan Field. And for the rest of the season, Northwestern will be hoping a Wisconsin game gets canceled and/or the Indiana game back on the second to last week of the season is a win for the Hoosiers, and Northwestern can sneak its way into the Big Ten championship game. But it all starts on Saturday. Definitely winnable game for Northwestern. Will be huge. It will, you know, it'll pay off a whole year of futility for Pat Fitzgerald. I don't think it's going to happen against this Badger team.
ABC, 2:30 p.m. Central. Our boy Sean McDonough on the call. Every young broadcaster's favorite broadcaster, or one of them at least. I feel like if you're a broadcaster, you follow broadcasting. He's one of our favorites. So definitely give him a listen on ABC. But I know some of you like to listen to Matt LaPay on the radio and stream it on TV, which I'm also 1,000,000% a fan of. I'm going to go, and I already gave this score out on Locked On Big Ten, one of our sister podcasts here at the Locked On Network, so I have to go the same score. And I'm giving you a football score. It's going to be an ugly game. It's going to be an ugly score. Give me 24-18. Somehow weird things are going to happen. Northwestern's going to get to 18 points in some weird way. It was 24-15 last year. I mean, I feel like weird scores are meant for a Wisconsin-Northwestern game. We're going to get another one. But like you said, like I said, Wisconsin somehow finds a way in an ugly, ugly game. I think we see this one pretty similarly.
Yeah, and even now I'm thinking like 27-21. That is my – I'm not going to change it as a prediction, but that does feel like it's going to be on the higher end. But the whole, you know, the whole gamut of scores will be generally low, as most prognosticators would probably predict.
Agreed. Unless Graham Mertz, you know, does that Mertz thing again, like he did in week one. We'll see. Jack, thank you for hopping on. Can't wait for the Battle of the Big Ten West on Saturday. As always, on Wisconsin, this was Locked On Badgers for the week at Locked On Badgers and at AOW_33 if you want some live reaction to the game tomorrow.